I think I've pointed out before that there are some very interesting features in this church if you go looking for them or if you've got eyes to see them. And of course we have a great representation of St. John the Baptist here in the church. What must have been the original baptistry of the church by the confessional there at the back is the wonderful stained glass window of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. Go and have a look at it, because there's something rather special about it which I only discovered today. You may have already seen it, but if you study the window and look at the lovely, yes, dated palms and the flowers, which are themselves are symbols, you'll see that there's the lily for Our Lady at the bottom there on the left, just underneath the feet of the angel. Interesting combination of two things, the Annunciation and the baptism of Jesus. The thistles, the pain and suffering of Jesus later on in his life, the crown of thorns. But in the background, have you noticed there's a church? Church St. Joseph's. As it must have been before they finished it with the copper tower that we have at the moment. Have a look, see what you think. You'll be surprised what you find in places that you least expect. And where you least expect is certainly something which is the theme for the birth of John the Baptist. What I like about this wonderful gospel narrative about St. John the Baptist is that from the very conception, there is a sanctity and an inclusivity about his birth. You know what village life can be like. Sure you do. The island's a small place. One of the biggest things I suspect you have to battle with is gossip and so on. And, of course, there have been a lot of gossip surrounding the birth of Jesus, must have been, but around John the Baptist as well. But notice that when the people heard that Elizabeth had given birth, there was no, oh dear, you know, an old woman like her giving birth, what's going on here, you know. It was not. They were all joyful in the village that she had given the birth to John. Well, given birth. So the next story, part of the narrative, is the name-giving. Important. In many families, the name that you give a child may be for generations and generations coming through that family line, the same name. My mother's side of the family, it was all Thomas and Ernest were the two names for boys that seemed to come up time and time again. This time it was to be something quite different. His name was to be John. It was a God-given name. A God-given name for a purpose. And if you again look at our stained glass window, you'll see that John the Baptist, always represented in art very strikingly in his camel hair and looking very sort of aesthetic as he was. Some people say he might have been an Essene, living in the desert, a sort of semi-religious, eremitical life. But he appears, but always his hagiographical symbol, the symbol of his sainthood, is that he carries a little banner. And on the banner is, "Behold the Lamb of God, Ecce Agnus Dei." And that great and wonderful ministry of John in pointing the way to Jesus is writ large on that banner. Behold, Ecce. And there John is carrying that banner, even though he's in the act of baptizing Jesus. He wants to make known that here is the Son of God. And perhaps the creator of that stained glass window, in an attempt to remind us of the importance of John's action, puts in an angel holding a towel ready to wrap around Jesus after his baptism. That towel, which is blue, of course, and looks a bit like a cloak would perhaps turn red later on to match the angel's wings as Jesus is clothed with that purple cloak at his passion. Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. Eucharistic as well, we say those words at Mass when the priest raises the host to invite you to Holy Communion. And there, I think, is the key. John invites us to Holy Communion with the Son of God. And if we remember that, I think we really make alive the place and ministry of John the Baptist, whose great day we celebrate today.